Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
We're going to put a pin in something that came in on the text line while we were in break. 781 said they will never pay him being Drake May. Just like every other great player we've had here, they will not pay.
Why?
I don't know. It's the dumbest, one of the dumber texts that's come in. I mean, there's been long Hall of Fame careers here by lots of guys they paid lots of money to who were really good at their jobs. Yes, Dan Ball?
And isn't the guy that was pinching pennies currently ruining things in North Carolina? Or at least part of the reason why they were pinching pennies?
Part of the penny pinching, and we can...
The executor of the penny pinching, so to speak.
Yes,
he was one of them.
Now he's looking for Saudi Arabian money to pump into his program because he can't win.
Means,
hey, Stiz, how'd that game go, Cal?
Right at the freaking end zone at the end of the game.
It does close count in football?
Apparently not.
Nope, that's called the L. They took the L. Your boy is scuffling, struggling.
Oh, that was a tough one, Andy.
That was actually a tough way to lose. I thought they were going to win, and then the ball just whoop.
That's as bad as a beat gets to literally be 6 inches from crossing the goal line and just cough it up.
Is that the football gods?
You could argue there's some karma involved there, the football gods, whatever you want to say. Yes, Dan Ball?
Do you guys think that Mac Jones actually said hi, or was Kendrick Bourne just saying that on the sideline before the game?
No, I bet you Mac Jones did.
Yeah, you think?
I could see him.
You think it was
that.
Only the word hi and nothing else?
No intention of engaging or going beyond that. And now Kendrick Bourne and Bill were in that weird, like, touching each other, shaking each other. Like, that was a whole weird get-together in the end zone after the game. But, your boy's struggling, Stiz.
But Kendrick Bourne always had that. For some reason, that's why I always thought it was so curious that there was a temporary falling out or a doghousing of him, if you will, because Kendrick Bourne always had that effect on Bill. Like, he could make him smile. He could make him laugh. Like, he cut through the stern veneer better than I think anybody I can remember.
Yeah, I think that was a Patricia thing.
Struggling.
When he was doghoused. I think that was a time where Patricia did the doghousing. But it's 3 o'clock. We have three hosts, or at least two hosts and Dan Ball. So it's time for the 3-point stance.
Green our teeth!
Ready!
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or even Saudi money can't help you win, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Andy, did you make a joke when you did that on Friday?
I did.
Was it a funny one?
Probably not. Okay. It was forced. It's not as easy as you make it look.
Well, if I had a nickel for how many times that's been true. Anyways, 3 o'clock.
Speaking of, real quick timeout.
Yeah.
How did the broadcasts go?
Oh, they were great. Thanks
for
asking.
Be louder. Not here on the broadcast.
Be louder.
Yep. You were a little
I don't know what the word is, but I would have liked a little more over the top energy. I thought you were deferential in a Drake May way to Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, because look how well Andy does it with the energy.
Because I watched some. I was watching. You made a funny. There was something about that's how they define it in the hockey dictionary. There was that TV laugh. I enjoyed it. I watched for like a half hour maybe of the second game, the men's game.
Oh, cool. So we're extrapolating over three games with the half an hour that you watched. Attaboy. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Two hosts and whatever I am, each of which have their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you and your polite takes on my career, you will lead us off. If you get 60 seconds for your opening stance, are you ready?
I am ready like the Bruins through the first three games.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Be loud.
So after those first three games, when the Bruins were 3-0, and I was asking Razor, like, hey, did you know the Bruins are second in most points in the NHL? Well, since then, they've not added to that point total. They've lost three consecutive games. They've actually lost four in a row, the second longest losing streak in the NHL at this point in the season. And things are not going well. We had a Swayman 6-goal game. We have the offense not doing its part. We have Marco Sturm, my guy, leaning into his bottom line guys and his muckers, maybe wondering how good his top end talent is. We had a fight last night when I tuned in. There was like this red bearded leprechaun guy that was fighting some Bruin, not O'Brien or something from the Mammoth. It was a Mammoth loss for the Bruins. I'm starting to worry about the hockey team. I was busting Dan Ball's balls early in the year because he was a guy that said this team's going to stink. They might be in contention for the number one pick. And at 3-0, I was taking a little Ted Johnson victory lap there. Well, there's such a thing as premature victory laps, and the Bruins themselves have not taken a victory lap in four games. And now they have Brad Marchand and the Panthers coming to town. This is going negative and sideways fast for my guy Marco Sturm.
Dan Ball. This I liked it more when it was 3-0.
Yeah, they should have stopped the season right there, like Vrabel said. If the playoffs had started that day, they would have made it.
It's true.
Now they're falling down the standings faster than I don't know what. Dan, what should I be most worried about?
Most worried about?
Yeah.
Scoring by anybody not named David Pastrnak.
Yeah, that seems like it's an issue.
You should
Didn't we know that was going to be an issue?
Yes, we did, but we were able to ignore it because they played a great game against Washington and then played a couple bad teams at the beginning of the year, but I love what Marco Sturm has done to this point, despite the losing. I was mentioning this quote to you guys off air, but he said after the Colorado game, my grinders have been my best players. And if my grinders are my best players and not my best players, we have a problem. He's right. It's direct. I appreciate that. But you can't make up for the fact that they just don't have any scoring talent on this roster. They benched Casey Mittelstadt, who's supposed to be their second line center. They scratched him last night.
Yeah.
That's how bad this thing is getting already, Fitzy, where you have one line that can score and three grinding lines who just can't put the puck in the net.
I mean, you said before the season started, Dan, that this was going to have to be a 2-1, 3-2, at best 4-3 type of season if the Bruins were going to chase respectability or possibly the last playoff seed. To already be less than 10 games in and have a Swayman six-pack on the board, that's pretty brutal. Like, you can't be you can't almost give up as many goals as millions you make per season. That means you are not the elite netminder you're paid to be.
So, Andy, by the way, restart the tally from last season. That's one game with more than with five goals or more and zero shutouts so far for Jeremy Swayman.
Yeah. I'm not totally sold that he is a new human being, quote unquote.
But he talked in the third person, though.
He did, and I don't care for that or care for six goals allowed games. So the Bruins are 21 goals scored, 22 goals allowed. So they're only minus one. And they're 3-4 in the win-loss record. And as I said, this is not necessarily going to be an easy one to try to get to 500 tomorrow night at the Garden against the Panthers. And my guy Brad Marchand, who I know he could find whatever the maximum is in the NHL, and it's like $5K.
Yeah, chump change.
I was going to say, that's a fine that I could pay.
Yeah.
Brag stiz.
Jeez.
He got cross-checked from behind. If you lose your mind after a cross-check, all bets should be off. He lost his mind, and I get it. You got to punish him, but I was all for what Brad Marchand did. But, I don't know. It seems like the Bruins are headed to, and it was a tough stretch, and I think that's what Razor will probably tell us when he joins us on Thursday at 4:30. Like, that's about as tough a stretch as you can get, that road trip they just went on. but he also predicted how many points? Two, I believe. Was
three.
It? Three.
He said three. He said they were that. So that meant a loss, a tie, and a win, and they got
They only came up 3 points shy of his prediction of 3 points. That'd be good for the 3 point stance. They did not make a 3 point stance. They made a 0 point stance out west.
Yeah, not good. In last night. That's the game. You're not beating Vegas. They're a cup contender. I have Colorado as my cup winner this year. I think they're incredible. Utah's roughly in the west where you are in the east, fighting for potentially a wild card spot, and you score two goals and fall apart for a not happy flight home. That's just, it's not good enough. Simply not good enough out of them.
And what's the scouting report on that guy I watched fight, O'Brien with the red beard? That's an impressive beard he's got going on there.
I'm not going to give you a scouting report that's better than you calling him a leprechaun-looking dude. Whatever I give you X's and O's hockey stuff is not going to be better than that.
Probably offensive, so let's move
on. I'm sure it is. We'll move on to Nick Fitzy-Stevens before Andy cancels himself. Fitzy, are you ready?
I am indeed, unlike the people that I shall be criticizing momentarily.
Oh, all right. Critique's coming in 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Yesterday, there was yet another display of both the inconsistent officiating that has plagued the 2025 NFL season to date, as well as the ignorance with which, unfortunately, many officials and league officials have had to carry themselves for years, since it seems like nobody knows the rules, and most especially, what a catch is. The latest victim would be Vikings tight end TJ Hawkinson. Hit it, Stiz.
I mean, there's nothing to overturn it. I mean, I was out there. I felt it. I mean, hands under the ball, snag it. And I don't understand. I don't obviously understand the catch rule at this point. Jay had one like the exact same thing last year in the corner of the end zone. So they got to figure it out. It's, you know, New York can't call in and say that it's not a catch when every other ref out there says it is. I mean, that's all it is to it.
So the referees on the field told TJ Hawkinson he had a catch for a touchdown in a game that the Vikings ended up losing by 6 points. However, upon further review, New York once again swoops in and reverses the call. This has been a trend that has taken place several times this season. It is a troubling trend, and it's difficult enough to know exactly what a catch is. This has been a problem ever since the infamous Dez Bryant catch non-catch of over 10 years ago in a playoff game against Green Bay. The NFL officially has an NFL officiating problem, and they need to figure it out before they ruin this season.
Welcome to my side of the street, where I realized about 20 years ago that all officials suck, certainly all NFL officials suck. And if you watch the games, it actually makes it worse because they bring in the rules expert who on her microphone tells you he doesn't know the rules or what the hell he's looking
at. What the holy hell is going on? I mean, Andy, how many times this season already have we heard, oh, New York was in their ear? Like, one guy makes the call on the field and then like, sorry, upon for it. Like, and it happens to Philadelphia, who we know got several calls, or at least we believe got several calls to their benefit in Super Bowl 52 with the sliding rule curve, thanks to Troy Vincent. Now they're the beneficiary, just like Kansas City was a few weeks ago against the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football. Like, either make everything reviewable, like Belichick said. This is one of the smartest things Bill Belichick ever said or did, Stiz. Take all the replay and all the crap and all the computers out, or you make everything reviewable. The way that they're handling it this season is going to ruin a high-leverage game, Andy, and it's going to taint this season, which is pretty damn interesting considering how inconsistent it is thus far.
Won't be the first time, won't be the last. We joked about it last week against the Saints, that call that cost them a trip to the Super Bowl. Was the worst call I think most of us have ever seen. And
that wasn't, the man was grabbed and thrown to the ground and it wasn't reviewable.
But you're under the belief that reviewing something will fix it, even though you're bitching about they reviewed something and screwed it up in your eyes. Like, the review doesn't fix it. The guy in the booth doesn't fix it. The rules expert doesn't fix it. The one thing I will say that maybe they could fix it is simplifying it. I know that was Schlereth's rule. Make it a little less detailed, but then with all these super slow motion replays, we're going to get bitching the other way. Oh, the ball moved, and old school thinking of he didn't survive the ground, even though you don't have to this and that and all that crap.
Do you really care? Honestly, to me, a catch, if your hands are underneath the ball and you go to the ground in the end zone and then it comes back up and you possess it, it should be a touchdown. That's a catch. I mean, that's everywhere else in the field, that's a catch. But for some reason in the end zone, more often than not, it gets ruled to the contrary. I just don't understand.
I've always argued that we should go to like the fifth grader rule. Just have a fifth grader at every stadium. He watches it. If he thinks it's a catch, it's a catch. He has the most simple of minds. Like, he thinks that he doesn't know all the rules and all that. Just ask him, is that a fumble? And if he says yes, well, sorry, coach, it's a fumble. If he says that's a catch, it's a catch. Like, the because we overthink these things.
Correct.
I've thought that since the tuck rule or catch, no catch. Like, we over, and I also said to Dan Ball
Brady
in the back,
did admit it was a fumble.
It was a fumble. Everybody knows it was a fumble, but you had a stupid rule that made it not a fumble. Like, that's not fun. Go back to, and I also want big plays to happen. I would err on the side of just calling it a catch. Hawkinson, catch. Anything I see, catch. Mm-hmm. We want points. We want plays. We want star playmakers. Nobody wants to see incomplete passes because upon further slow motion review, the ball bounced out. That's also always been my other argument. Get rid of slow motion replay in all of sports. Get rid of it. If you can't tell full speed, then it wasn't that bad of a call. It doesn't need fixing that badly. We were never meant, Will Fleming's on my side of this, we were never meant to do the frame by frame.
Oh my God, his oven mitt came off the bag for a millisecond. He's out at second base.
Oh,
like all this crap. So Noel, get rid of slow motion replay.
That is my solution for everything, and then have a fifth grader as the replay official. You do those two things, and we'll all be happier.
Okay, move over, experts. Bring in the fifth grader. I think we're making some progress here today.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
Hart's plan 2.0.
There you go. The first one worked so well, so let's try the second one.
It did. It involved Will Campbell. I don't remember what it was, but it involved Will Campbell.
Arms, I guess, aren't too short as we're continuing to learn. But, okay, I'm jumping in for Ted Johnson here on this Monday with my three-point stance. And Andy, Fitzy, Stiz, because Andy talked about hockey, I'm going to baseball. And if you thought that the Garrett Crochet trade and signing for the Red Sox was great already, consider this from Sean McAdam. Tarek Skubal of the Detroit Tigers, represented by Scott Boras, the likelihood of a new team extending the ace lefty is almost negligible. He said the Yankees, who attempted to do the whole trade for and extend play with Juan Soto, failed. It will be the same for Skubal, who earlier in the week was rumored to be $250 million away in negotiations between he and the Detroit Tigers, and he is a free agent after 2026. Now, Skubal's prioritizing money. That's fine. That's his prerogative. He may end up making more money than Garrett Crochet, but when you combine the mindset, the makeup, the want to win, and the want to be part of a team that brings in good players to win World Series, I'm taking Garrett Crochet every day and twice on Sunday. What I'm learning about Skubal is he's in it for money, which, again, it's his prerogative. That's fine. A lot of players are going to make generational money doing this, but the fact that Crochet took less in order to be on a team that can then build a team that has a chance to win a World Series, that's the kind of guy I want on my team instead of somebody who is out there once every 5 days.
So, Skubal, you're ripping him for wanting money?
Yeah, because, I mean, $250 million apart between him and the Detroit Tigers.
Maybe they're just being cheap. Maybe they only offered $10
million. Yeah, maybe.
I was literally going to say, Dan, when you said $250 million, I had to stop and listen to everything you said and reprocess before preparing to say something once you finished your stance. If he was asking for $250 million, I would have thought, well, he is better than Fried, and he probably saw what Crochet got, and he was a baller in the playoffs. So, you know, 8 years, $250 million, that seems fair. Oh, I'm sorry, what? He wants $250 million more than the Tigers are offering? Get out of here.
I just think it's a crazy ask for a guy. And again, he's an ace. He's the best, probably the best pitcher in the league right now. But that's a guy who's out there 30 times out of 162 games. And you have to try to construct a good team around him to win most of those other 4 days that he's not out there. I just think that that kind of money for a pitcher is an absurd ask out of him.
And he also doesn't have sort of the extra storyline, because I don't know if you guys saw the reports this weekend that the Dodgers reportedly made back in year one of Shohei Ohtani the totality of his contract with everything and merchandise and deals over.
That's why it was the deal of the century. It was the best deal ever. He was worth all of that.
You don't have that with Skubal. Like, right, he doesn't have, you know, some country where they're going to open up all new revenue streams to a totally, right? So he's, he also, by the way, doesn't hit and pitch like Ohtani.
Right,
so
right, crazy.
He's a lot more traditionally based in his value. I mean, he can ask for whatever he wants, and I do wonder if Lou's thing comes into play here. He's starting really high to then come down at to a then really high number and get his bank before he hits potential lockout and CBA and salary caps and all these things. But I'll tell you one thing he's not doing himself any favors with is kind of your opinion, like the public opinion, the view of him. And I do wonder if guys take that into account. Like, I don't begrudge a guy for going for all the money in the world.
No, that's what you do as an elite athlete. You can do that.
But you can do that without damaging your reputation, I feel like. And right now, he's losing the PR battle. He's losing the PR game and doing damage long-term to sort of his Q rating, his reputation, whatever that may be.
Yeah. Dan, can you do we know real quick, did that second home run that Ohtani hit the other night in the single greatest baseball performance by an athlete or individual, did that second one land yet?
Yeah, it took out my windshield on 93 on the way in this morning. Jesus.
Never seen a baseball.
Called Jeffrey Glassman.
Yeah.
Legitimately
bunch
have
of sevens
never seen 10 strikeouts, 6 inning shutout ball, but then he hits 3 home runs, the middle of which is the furthest home run I've ever seen hit in my life. I've been watching baseball for 50 years.
It's the best game, Fitzy, in baseball history. Based individual
yes.
game. In,
you sure?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I just feel like I could go back and find some, like, 1901 or 1889 and some guy who actually pitched 27 shutout innings and hit 5 home runs in those 27 shutout innings.
Right, against a shoe salesman.
Yeah. Touche, there is some truth to that. It's, games come a long way.
Yeah, old Carly out there throw it, and he throw it at a whopping 62 miles an hour.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani against Mo Underfoot. I mean, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I remember when this came up a year and a half ago, saying that if there was a way to get around the CBA and all the baseball nonsense, that all what you do is you just offer Shohei Ohtani, in addition to like $600 million, you give him a piece of the franchise revenue, say like gate. I don't care if the fact that the Dodgers are like, haha, we made the $700 million back already, and this is only year two. I mean, they're just going to keep winning the World Series year in and year out. And I hate to say it, they deserve to.
And that's why Dave Roberts said, let's win 4 more and really destroy baseball, or whatever his quote was. Also, if the Dodgers really made that money back, then they're actually making money on Ohtani, because if they made $700 million, it's all deferred. So they can put it in investments, put it in accounts, make interest off that, and then pay him down the road and probably have more money left over from the money they've made from all the various revenue streams. So it's a fascinating look at a fascinating player. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, that's going to do it for our 3-point stances today. Thank you to our buddy Jeffrey Glassman, 617, and then all sevens after that if you need a little assistance from him. But up next, we are going to talk about the Patriots' defense, which looks like it could use a little assistance. Early in games, they've made Spencer Rattler look pretty good. They've made now Cam Ward look pretty good early in the game before he started doing football follies type things to fumble the ball away to them. Are you worried at all about the Patriots defense, or will it fall into line with its reputation and its paychecks? That's coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Boston at Prolo Therapy. The Patriots are now 5-2. They won their fourth straight game yesterday afternoon, taking down the Titans by a score of 31-13. With the win, the Patriots have now played in and won 3 consecutive road games in a single season for the first time since the 1970 merger. With his performance on Sunday, Drake May set a new franchise record for the highest single-game completion percentage with a minimum of 20 pass attempts at 91.3%. The previous record was held by Tom Brady at 88.5. Here is Drake with WEEI Afternoons earlier this afternoon, reacting to those types of accolades.
One of the best things Coach Vrabel was saying this week, you know, stuff that's interesting versus important. I think all that stuff is interesting and cool to be, you know, in those graphics. I think what's important is trying to keep it going.
New England looks to keep it going when they host the Cleveland Browns next Sunday at 1 p.m. Tonight, Week 7 in the NFL concludes with a Monday Night Football doubleheader. In the first game, it's the 5-1 Bucks visiting the 4-2 Lions. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. Coverage via Westwood One begins here on WEEI at 6. Then at 10 Eastern, it's the 2-3 Texans taking on the 4-2 Seahawks. The Bruins lost their fourth consecutive game last night. They fell to the Utah Mammoth by a score of 3-2. Boston finishes their Western road trip with a record of 0-3. 3. They return home tomorrow night to host Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers. The Celtics, meanwhile, tip off their season on Wednesday night when they host the Philadelphia 76ers. Tip-off for that one is at 7:30. The Revolution saw their season come to an end on Saturday night with a 2-2 draw at home against Chicago Fire FC. And from around Major League Baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 6-2 in Game 6 of the ALCS to force a Game 7 tonight in Toronto. First pitch is at 8:10. George Kirby, Shane Bieber, the pitching matchup. The winner faces the Dodgers in the World Series as LA completed the series sweep of the Brewers in the NLCS on Friday night. If your doctor said surgery was the only solution for your joint pain, get a second opinion. Do what Ted Johnson and thousands of others have done. Eliminate your joint pain with Boston Prolotherapy. Online at BostonProlotherapy.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Turn out the lights. The show is over. That was the end of the game for your Tennessee Titans. And history will show the Patriots had a 31-13 blowout laugher in Mike Vrabel's return trip to Nashville. But I think that forgets a little something, like Tennessee was up 3-0, 10-3, 13-10. And Cam Ward was kind of hot to start the game. And not in a pause kind of way, just 10 of 11 passing kind of way. And this is another mediocre to struggling quarterback who finds some room to complete short passes, hit a long pass.
Pause.
Over our guy, Marcus Jones, who we'll actually talk to in about 15 minutes here on WEEI Afternoons. DK, a name I struggled with when I first saw it on the back of his jersey, but it is in DK, like DK Metcalf, but this is his last name and it's spelled differently. But are we worried at all about the Patriots defense, the slow starts? I know Mike Vrabel talked about it earlier today, I think in his press conference, may have been with Greg Hill. I struggle in these Mondays when Mike Vrabel speaks like four times between when the game ends and we actually do a show.
Yeah, like Alex Cora only in season with us had to speak on Wednesdays, and that was it. Like, he didn't have to do the pregame show with Arcan, and like then he'd speak briefly after the game. And that's still like a lot, but it's not four times. Vrabel literally talks for 6 to 7 minutes after the game, then 15 minutes with the Greg Hill show, and then he does another 10 minutes with the media. Like, I don't know which of these ones to disseminate, like, his analysis or his thoughts from. Like, there's so much. I mean, God love him, but that's a lot.
In one of those, he discussed the failure to match script, basically, early in games, and they're not matching up with whatever the opposing offense is scripting to start games, which to me sounds like coaching and scouting and preparation. So our guy, Zach Hardcore, is a part of that, obviously. Mike Vrabel is a part of that. Everybody else as a staff is part of that. And these slow starts, yeah, it's fine against the Titans, and it's especially fine against the Titans when Drake May is playing as well as he is. But if you start slow against, I don't know, let's throw your team out there, Baker Mayfield in the Bucks, game might be over. You might be down 17-0 and look back on it and say, oh, we didn't play poorly after the slow start, but the hole was just too big to dig out of. So these slow starts are becoming a little bit of a pattern concern.
They are most definitely a concern. It's not just that it's happened a couple of times. It's happening every week. They do not match game script, like Vrabel said. So that makes you think, okay, what are they missing? Like their defensive coordinator or something? Even though they've said they talk to Terrell Williams every day. Someone else that's new on the job is coaching the defense right now. He may just not have that. He may not have that card up his sleeve. That may not be in his, that arrow may not be in his quiver. So they're a step behind. Luckily, they're able to. One of the best things about this defense, though, is they do recalibrate and adjust very well. The latter couple of years of the Belichick defense and last year, of course, remember the old second half adjustments? Like, oh, they'll go into the locker room and they'll make some second half adjustments and they'll lock it down. That didn't happen anymore. That sort of that fell by the wayside. Patriots have done a much better job. They didn't allow any points in the second half yesterday, but allowing the other team to dictate the terms early when you're playing cruddy, mediocre to bottom of the barrel teams, you get away with. If you're going to do it against the lumber of the league or whatever is perceived to be the lumber of the league, that's going to get you burnt.
617-779-7937. Let's work in some phone calls. Let's go to Jerry in the car. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, fellas. Look, I'm thrilled with Drake May, just like everybody else in New England, but I'm having to have a problem with this completion ratio. I mean, throwing the ball out of bounds is a tool the quarterback should use, and he never does it, so his ratio goes up. He doesn't do it when he's getting smashed to the ground and his head's getting bashed off the turf. He doesn't do it when he's running for his life and he has to run out of bounds and maybe lose 2 yards. He doesn't do it when he's running out for his life and gets smoked by a 350-pound, you know, lineman from the other side. So, you know, could he be doing it on purpose? You know, they call it stat padding, or is he just not throwing it out of bounds because he's trying to, you know, that is not a good sign and not a good tool to use if you're going to try to protect the quarterback for the long term.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. So we're accusing Drake May now of stat padding. Is that what we're doing here?
I don't think there's any accusation of stat padding. I think it's a general inquiry at this point.
I would say it's quite simple. He's a young quarterback who likes to make plays, is capable of making plays, often does make plays by scrambling, rolling out, throwing on the run, doing the different things we wow about his game. And I do believe that idea of live to fight another play mentality, throw the ball away, those are decisions that I think come with experience. And he doesn't have experience. He's 23 years old. He didn't play a ton in college. He hasn't played a ton in the NFL. He's playing catch up to some of the more mature, even the mature young quarterbacks. Forget the mature older NFL quarterbacks that he's chasing. Do I think he will throw the ball away more in the future? And that will, yes, inherently, naturally cause his completion percentage to go down? Yes. Do I think what he's doing right now is a detriment to himself or the team? No, I don't. I think he's playing elite-level football right now. And are we going to jump on this bandwagon that he did something victim-shaming, that he made some bad decision yesterday that led to his head hitting the turf? He played football. He played football the way Drake May plays football. And it happened to lead to his head hitting the turf, and he had to go to the medical tent. Other than that, I don't care for this victim-shaming here.
I don't think it's really victim-shaming.
Not like it. Jerry had an agenda.
Okay, well, I mean, he's kind of... It does seem a bit of a curious point in the midst of a four-game win streak. Like, yeah, this high complete... We're all drunk on his high completion percentage. Like, I would more be concerned right now as a Patriots fan. I'd potentially be more concerned with, hey, we're doing a lot of this against teams that, if we're being honest and anyone else is listening, kind of suck.
I would be most concerned with the offensive line inconsistency. I thought Jared Wilson, to use your phrase, kind of sucked yesterday. I thought Will Campbell was inconsistent. And the way I heard Mike Vrabel...
He gave up a goddamn sack yesterday.
Jeez, the Lord's name in vain. That came out of nowhere. The way Vrabel described
it, Jerry's.
The pass protection was either there and good or non-existent. There was no in-between. There was either really bad pass protection or really good pass protection. So those are the things that I would worry about with Myles Garrett and company coming to town. Is your offensive line ready for this battle as much as is Drake May ready for this battle? 617-779-7937. Let's go down to Rhode Island for our buddy Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? What about the segment, Ball, the way he spells his last name, B-A-H-L, and possibly as Balls? That'd be a great segment, I think. But anyway, in all seriousness, think about this. They threw all that money at Goodwin, and he didn't take that money, right? So they moved on to Stephon Diggs. That was a huge break right there. I love the way Diggs breaks down the game. Honestly, I think he's a lot responsible for how these guys are responding, both just that he's shown them the way, and tactically he's shown them a lot of stuff as well.
All right, thanks for the call, Matt. Dan Ball, any comment on a segment suggestion?
What was the – rephrase what the name was again?
I think Ball's Ball.
Oh, yeah. I don't know ball. Anything about it or what we do within it. Other than talk sports, but
I think my vacuum cleaner joke was better.
Yeah, I would say so.
What if we just do one that's just like Dan's crazy stats of the week, and we just call it Balls Out?
Oh, all right. I think we're getting somewhere on this. I don't think we're getting anywhere close to air, but I think we're getting somewhere. But
put a pin in it.
Matt, work on your type five and call back in a couple days.
Yeah, we'll workshop that. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, our buddy Marcus Jones. He was involved with big plays in both directions yesterday in Tennessee. We'll ask him about that and much more. And his physicality. Fitzy's worried about his physicality sometimes, also worried how much it's going to cost to re-sign Marcus Jones and keep him in New England for the long haul. Patriots defensive back and captain Marcus Jones up next here on WEEIF.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Janoons. WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. We'll go right to the guest line where our buddy Marcus Jones joins us after the Patriots 31-13 win in Tennessee. Marcus, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're good. I have to assume that you guys are enjoying winning, but it sounds like also not blind to some of the issues that need to be cleaned up. So I'm going to start with a question there. Why does it seem that opposing offenses are finding early success against you guys, and then at some point it's like you flick a switch and all of a sudden just shut them down and make the adjustments?
Yeah, man, every week is different, you know what I mean? And whenever we do come out every single week, you know, we're definitely trying to get stops. We're trying to find the ways and how they're playing the game and everything like that. But, you know, the main thing is whenever we get back to the sideline, we get the details, we get the corrections, and then go on to the next drive.
Marcus, obviously an emotionally charged arena yesterday as well. Your coach returning to where he used to coach. A lot of Patriots fans giving you guys the love in the stadium. Was the week leading up to it in preparation for yesterday's showdown in Tennessee as charged up as yesterday was?
I would say, like, throughout the week, we just, you know, attacked the day. Treated it as every other week and everything, but we definitely wanted to win the game and everything like that for Braves, for sure.
Marcus, on that long touchdown to the back pylon, what happened there? I'm not looking for you to throw anybody under the bus necessarily, but can you just explain sort of how that played out and how you guys fixed it moving forward?
Yeah, it was a great scheme play that they ended up having. They had to roll out and everything like that. Basically, what they did was they ran, the receiver ran to the hash and everything like that. It was my guy, and then ran all the way across the field and stuff. So that was just a great scheme and everything like that. So,
did Tennessee do anything differently than you had anticipated or seen? Or just thought they might do? Because obviously you guys were coming into a situation where you have an interim coach who's only been there 4 or 5 days. They talked about trying to up the tempo, simplify things a little bit. How did you guys feel about what they did versus what you thought they might do?
I felt as though that they kind of stayed on track to what they basically ran and everything. We expected tempo, quick game, things like that. And then the certain runs that they had and stuff, they had a couple screens that were a little different that they ended up running. But mainly, other than that, they did exactly what we kind of thought that they were going to do.
Patriots defensive back Marcus Jones here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Later in the game, I know you guys always work on tip drills, and you got one of those tip drill interceptions. That must have been fun. Did you think you were going to score there? For a second there, I thought you might go down the sideline.
Yeah. As soon as I caught it, well, first off, I had to make sure I caught the ball. So that was the main thing I was focused on, and then I was like, man, I can get up and start running. So I tried to get down the sideline, keep going and everything, but the guy, he had a great angle. So
and as far as the defense getting prepared for the next week's game, obviously this one was a very emotional game. You know, a lot of emotions in the locker room afterwards. Now you guys are 5-2. You guys are suddenly going to become the team that everyone's going to be coming after as well. You go home after 4 straight wins, 3 on the road, Marcus, and this coming week you guys have the Cleveland Browns coming to town, who might be one of the most physical teams including a very punishing run game featuring Quinshon Judkins. How are you guys going to get ready for that?
Yeah, our main thing is we're going to make sure to prepare each week the same that we've done. We know that they like to run the ball and everything and stuff like that. And they had some success and everything, went from the boots, the play action pass, things like that, getting in rhythm for Gabriel that we've seen. But the main thing is just playing our football, being aggressive, stopping a run. We pride ourselves in stopping a run and everything like that, and then getting them and get back on track situations to where we can get the third down, to where it's third down and long, third down to 7+.
Marcus, there's been some comments from your teammates that the offense and the defense on this team get along really well, that there's a good unified team atmosphere in Foxborough. Do you agree with that, and to what do you attribute that?
Yeah, I do agree with it. We built a lot since OTAs. We got to know each other way more. People talk about their stories, things like that. And we spend a lot of quality time, you know, in the facility and then also out of the facility, to where, you know, you get to know people more and it makes you want to play harder for your brother. So as time went on, you know, that makes the offense and defensive guys become closer.
On that subject of team bonding and, you know, growing closer, there have been stories in recent week of Stephon Diggs treating the offense to dinner one night and having his personal chef cook. Then Drake May did it last week, and it was a hibachi meal. Has anyone on the defense, maybe, I don't know, like Milton Williams, thought about doing like a defense-only or maybe a secondary-only dinner? And if you could pick the dinner, what would it be?
Defensive guys, you know, we have different ways that we kind of do it. Defensive line, they do their thing and everything, have dinners. DBs, we've had dinner before and everything as well. I'm a big steak guy. I like steak, and then I'm also a big pasta guy. So I don't know one exact spot. I know Mastro's is a good restaurant, but I don't know one exact spot where I'd be like, oh, yeah, we need to go here for sure. There's a lot of good restaurants out here.
When you say steak, what is your favorite cut? What kind of steak? I'm a filet guy myself. Everybody always talks me into something else, but what's your favorite steak?
Nah, I'm ribeye.
Oh, okay.
Nice. As a captain and a leader of this team, there wasn't a follow-up, so I just, you know, going to go on to the next question. As a captain and a leader on this team, what have your thoughts been on how it has handled praise? I know we've talked about it on this show. Nick Saban used to refer to it as rat poison. Seems like you guys have handled success relatively well and shown up each and every week and worked towards the new game. Do you agree with that? Do you think guys have done a good job handling the praise? And why do you think that's been the case?
Yeah, I feel as though us as a team, you know, we have a lot of guys to where we feel as though everything that we've done is not enough. So we're always trying to be consistent. Complacency can be easy to get yourself in, but I feel as though us as a team, we're not really worried about last week and what happened, you know, weeks before. We always talk about on the defensive side, you know, writing a new chapter in your book. So it's like last chapter, it doesn't matter. It's like now we're being able to have a fresh start and get into the next week, whether it was a good week for you or a bad week, you get to put a new chapter into your book. So that's the main thing that we kind of focus on.
Marcus, it's, you know, a lot of talk about how you guys love showing up for Mike Vrabel, performing for him, getting coached by him, big win on the weekend for him as well. You guys like each other as well. But I'm just curious, what kind of, you know, it seems like Mike Vrabel is now having a profound impact on individuals as well in that locker room. Is there any way you could say Mike Vrabel has made you both just not just a better football player, but a better person as well?
Yeah, I would say just taking advantage of the opportunities that you get. You know, he always talks about, you know, you only get so many opportunities, you know, in this game and only so many Sundays. And being able to take advantage of every single time that we're on the practice field, every single time that we get a rep, tune into that one rep, and whatever happened, good or bad, you know, get into the next one. So just making sure that you stay on track, lean on your brothers, because this is the ultimate team sport. You're not able to, you know, get wins by individuals just, you know, doing their individual part. It's like it's a team thing. So whenever we end up doing that and just building, it's very important. So I learned that from him for sure.
All right, let's end on a light one. What are Marcus Jones' three favorite Halloween candies?
Oh, three favorite Halloween candies. I don't know if this is a Halloween candy, but I'm a Big League Chew person. I love bubble gum.
Nice.
So I love Big League Chew. I'll say Skittles. I'm not really crazy about candy, but Skittles, if I do eat candy, it'll be Skittles. And then I'll say Sweet Tarts. I know that might be a little different, but Sweet Tarts, I'm cool with Sweet Tarts too.
Those are all good. You're right, though. I don't think Big League Chew would qualify as a Halloween candy. That's more what you get when your parents drop you off at the baseball field when you're in T-ball early on. Our producer wants to know, are you a candy corn guy? Because that's apparently a hotly debated thing. Are you candy corn, yay or nay?
I'm not crazy about it. I'm not crazy about it, but I've had it before, but I'm not crazy about it.
Now, fire it into the sun. It's the worst thing on earth. Good for you, Marcus.
All right, Marcus, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week after another victory.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marcus. That's Patriots defensive back Marcus Jones here on WEEI Afternoons. The funny thing is, I'm not a big candy corn guy. I like the pumpkins, the whatever they call them, pumpkins.
No.
That are,
it's that's the like same
a,
thing.
I know,
it's
but it's different.
It's difficult candy corn.
So good. Those pumpkins, I can sit and eat an entire bag and then feel awful afterwards. It's one of those things you once you start, you cannot stop, and it's just there beside you.
How about
you on
circus
the couch.
Peanuts?
I kind of like those, too.
No!
Yeah, I'm kind of a sucker for all those just sugary, weird
concoctions.
What was the flavor of the crap that you bought for your to top your ice cream with?
Oh, cotton candy crunch.
Yeah.
I went to reorder it. You know what it costs?
$22.99.
Oh, you rich,
to get
rich.
A little
post one.
That's what I was thinking about.
Cotton candy crunch.
Nice.
I didn't do it, but I think I have to because I'm almost out because it's so good. But it's
where
a
the hell do you buy cotton candy crunch for $23?
Amazon.com. And then I was
how
trying.
How big is the box? The size of you?
No, it's like a bag. I think it might be 1 pound in the bag, but it's like a bag of it. And then I tried to get cheap and I was searching other websites. I went to Walmart.com. Same price at Walmart.com. So apparently that you can buy a full ice cream store size box of it for like $72. I was thinking maybe just doing that, getting the whole thing, and it'd be like a 5-year supply or whatever. But cotton candy crunch, more expensive than you'd think it'd be. 617-779-7937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons. Are the Patriots true contenders? Yes, they're the number 2 seed. Yes, some people think they could be going to the playoffs and deep in the playoffs. We have statistics that are telling us they have a 90% chance to go to the playoffs. But does that mean they're a true contender? Are they a contender to go to the Super Bowl? We'll debate that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.